Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Some of you have children in the lifestyle that God brought Rashad out of, and this tonight is going to be hope for you. This is going to be a message of hope. If God delivered him, if God set him free, then God can do it for your family. God can do it for your kids. God can do it for your cousin, your nephew, your uncle. Some of you need to not just like the video, but share this video with a family member that might be stuck in this lifestyle, and not just this lifestyle, any lifestyle of bondage. So I really believe tonight, I know that the Lord is going to deliver, the Lord is going to heal, and the Lord is going to save. This is what we're believing for, guys. It's going to be a great night. Again, if you haven't heard Rashad's testimony, buckle up. It's going to be good. Let me give one disclaimer before I intro him and get started. If you have children in the room, some of the stuff will be viewer discretion is advised. So just, we're not going to hold anything back. We're not going to sugarcoat anything. So if you have kids in the room, just be ready to mute it or to silence it for a couple minutes. It won't be the entire thing inappropriate for kids, but there will be places, I don't want him to hold back, that will be inappropriate for children. So I just want to warn you guys there. I have young kids, so I'd be happy if somebody warned me. I'm warning all of you parents out there that just have your hand on the mute in case there's a couple parts you need to mute. You could be ready to do that, and then you can unmute it after a couple minutes and we'll be good to go. All right, well, I found out about Rashad, a month or two ago. I forgot how long ago it was. I was on YouTube. It got recommended. They basically had a podcast with two, I think it was gay pastors, if I'm right, Rashad. Those two gay pastors. Yep. And the host of the show brought him on, and he was just speaking facts. He was just giving them the gospel and telling them the truth. And I was like, man, this guy is on fire. It's like one thing to see somebody sharing the truth. It's another thing when you see somebody that's anointed, that God has anointed them. And when he was speaking, I just saw the anointing on his life, the power of God in his life, and I just thought, what a testimony. So I started looking for him. I couldn't find him on YouTube, even though he does have a YouTube in description. I think I found him on TikTok, and I started watching some of his videos, and man, what a powerful testimony. So Rashad, I just want to say thank you, bro, for being on tonight. I didn't know you knew me until I reached out to you, and you were letting me know you watched some of my stuff, so I appreciate that as well. But bro, thanks so much for being on tonight, and I just... we'll jump right into your testimony and kind of just what God's been doing in your life, how you were brought up, and whatever you feel, we'll just go for your testimony here.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, my name is Rashad Vermey. I'm 24 years old from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a husband, a father, and I just love Jesus. I love Jesus with all my heart. So yeah, we'll get into my testimony. So I grew up in a Christian home. Both of my parents were Bible-believing Christians, so I knew of Jesus, I knew of the gospel, I grew up in the church, all of that stuff, but I didn't have a true relationship with Jesus for myself. You know, a lot of people, they grow up in the church, they know all the churchy vernacular or whatnot, they know all the right things to say, but they don't have a true relationship with Jesus for themselves, and that was the case for me. And so when I was around 8 years old, I went to go hang out at one of my family members' houses. And they had the show RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul's Drag Race is a TV show where drag queens, men who dress like a woman, they come together and they compete against each other for like different prizes and stuff. And I remember as a young boy, I had never been exposed to anything of the LGBTQ or anything of the gay agenda. But I'm in the living room and I'm gazing at this little TV. And as I'm gazing at this little TV in confusion, one of the elders who was around, she came out and she said, turn that TV show off before this little boy decides to do the same things when he gets older.
What?
And yeah. And so I remember going back home with so much confusion and curiosity in my mind because I had never been exposed to anything like that. Just to take a little side note here, that's why you see here in America, they're pushing this agenda on the children. Because children's minds are like sponges. And so when you teach them that a man and a man is okay and all this perversion is okay, when they get older, it's going to become more and more normalized. And that's what we're seeing every single year is this LGBTQ stuff is becoming more and more normalized in our society. And so fast forward to when I was 13 years old. Going back home after watching that show as an 8-year-old boy, I started to mimic what I had seen. And so I have a little sister who is around the same age as me. And I remember secretly stealing her Disney princess dresses, her little Disney makeup and heels and stuff. And I would bring them back to my room. I would go to my mom's room. I would steal her makeup, her nail polish, all that stuff. I would bring it back in my room and I would just mimic what I had seen on the show. I had an iPod at that time. I ended up finding the show on YouTube. And so I would just watch the show and just delete the history, you know, and just do that whole stuff. And so I knew it was wrong. Not because I had a Holy Spirit conviction, but the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin against nature. And so I knew as a young boy that a boy wasn't supposed to be acting like a girl, you know? So I would just hide it from my parents and stuff, but I just kept doing this up until 13 years old. Two of my peers that I was really close with introduced me to pornography. And now that I'm, you know, watching pornography, I'm roaming the internet as a 13-year-old boy, and I come across gay porn. And so now that's when the spirit of homosexuality really started to work in my heart, because watching the RuPaul's Drag Race, the drag queens, I didn't really know the whole sexual aspect of it all. I didn't know that, you know, these men were having sex with men. I remember at 10 years old, Isaiah, coming out to my sister and saying, I'm gay. Because the thing is, I thought gay was a boy who dressed like a girl. I didn't know it was, you know, a men who have sex with men. And this show has such an influence on me that even in elementary school, in the first and second grade, I was more feminine than the other guys. And so I would always want to hang out with the females, to the point where the guys at my school, they will make fun of me. They will call me, like, you know, offensive slurs. Like, I don't know if I can say them on here, but
I don't. We get banned for everything. We're always limited. So, yeah, whatever you want to say, you're good.
So they will call me offensive slurs like faggot. Mm. And I don't think anybody should be called that. No matter, right. You know, even as Christians, we shouldn't be using these derogatory, you know, stuff to say that to a person. But they will call me all these names. They will call me sissy. They will call me 7AY, which is the seventh letter in the alphabet. And then AY, which the seventh letter in the alphabet is G, and then AY. And then they would just say all this stuff. And I remember one incident, Isaiah, these boys, they circled around me. It was about maybe like 10 of them. And they're all in my class and stuff. And they circle around me, and they circled me towards a gate. And they take my head and they bang it across the fence. And they're like, you faggot, you faggot, you faggot, you faggot. And I remember I'm crying, I'm sobbing, like snot down my nose. And at that time, I couldn't stand up for myself. So I remember going back home. And my dad, he was a big sports guy. So I go to the basement and I'm down there at like 8 years old. I'm down there just hanging out with my dad. And I just ask him out of curiosity, Dad, what is gay? And as he's about to explain to me what gay is, a commercial for RuPaul's Drag Race comes on the TV.
Oh, my goodness.
It literally comes on the TV. And then he looks at the TV. He points at the TV and he looks back at me. He says, son, that's what gay is. And so still, as a young boy, my definition of gay was a boy who dressed like a girl. It wasn't really the whole sexual aspect of it all. But at 13, being introduced to pornography now, I'm looking up weird stuff, Isaiah, like drag queen sex, men and men sex, all this weird stuff. And it opened a door of perversion, like, in my life. And so going into high school...
Let me stop you really sports. Quick. I just want to key in on something that you're saying. There are so many parents in the chat, people watching. This is important that we stick here for a second, that don't think that there's power in these shows. In fact, I've made, you know, warnings about certain shows, and we shouldn't allow our kids. We shouldn't. And so many people will say, you're being religious, brother. These shows don't have power. These shows, you know, like the kind of famous quote of the woke left is always like, you can't turn kids gay from these shows. Drag shows don't turn kids gay. And they have like the drag show at the library and the drag show at the zoo. I've covered these things, right? And a lot of people push back, unbelievers usually, and say, Isaiah, this would never turn somebody a certain way. But you're literally here tonight live telling us that at 8 years old, you watched the drag show, the RuPaul's drag show, and that opened up a door in your life. And I just want to warn every single parent watching this as you're sharing, because this is such an important point, that you are opening the door when you're allowing this stuff in your home. You're opening the door. Some of you are letting your kids on TikTok. I personally, Rashad, don't think any kid should be on TikTok. There's no reason to be. There's no kid that should be on Instagram. There's no kid that should be on TikTok. None of your kids should be on YouTube Shorts where you're just letting your kids scroll, because this content that you got exposed to at 8, just proof that it does do this, is opening spiritual doors for your guys' kids. And I personally believe we have to shelter our kids. That's what the Bible teaches. We are called to shelter. And so, man, the point you're making here is so strong that this was an open door. This was something as little as a show popping up, right? It wasn't like you didn't really know even what you're watching. Just watching that, guys, think about that. Just that entertainment, just that little entertainment had something enter your life and really begin to demonize you and begin to confuse you. I've never really heard somebody say that. Like, I just watched the show and it opened up this curiosity. At 8 years old, and I'm just also thinking, like, man, I have kids. I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and that 8 is so young. 8 is so young for something like this to come into and confuse our kids. And so I just wanted to blow the trumpet to all of you parents watching right now. I hope this sends chills down your spine. I hope this is a wake-up call for you. I mean, it is for me. Even as you're talking, I'm like, man, we really need to be careful what our kids are watching, the music they're listening to, because the way it sparked that curiosity in you and then led you down that path is just so, so crazy. And so all you parents, seriously, iPads, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, there's just no business your kids have being online, scrolling on videos like that, because there's so much weird stuff out there. I mean, even on kids' YouTube, there's one of the first videos, I did a video years ago on this, Rashad. One of the first videos when you make a kid's YouTube account that you get recommended is a lesbian girl literally teaching kids about gayness. I'm serious. It's on kids' YouTube, bro. And I didn't believe this. So I made a kid's YouTube account and I was like, this can't be real. And sure enough, one of the top recommended videos when you first make a kid's YouTube account is this gay lady, and I have this on the channel. Of course, it got censored, but it's on my channel. And this gay lady telling kids, oh, do you know what being gay is? Oh, do you know what this is? And they're like, no, because of course kids don't know unless a parent exposed them to this evilness. And I was just like, I cannot believe this. And again, there's if one parent tonight in the chat says, you know what, I'm not going to allow my kids any longer to be on this, and we save one kid from going down this road, then whatever we're doing tonight is worth it and talking about tonight is worth it. So sorry for interrupting you there. I just wanted to make the point there because I think it's so strong that we really illuminate the fact that entertainment can cause something to enter your children and enter your family. So yeah, you were watching that at 8, then 10, you start getting exposed to pornography. And then I cut you off when you said, as you're becoming a teenager, and then that's where I kind of cut you off. But yeah, go for it.
So just going into high school around 15 years old, I played sports all throughout my childhood. I played football, basketball. My first sport was tennis, but mainly football and basketball. That was my sport. And so going into high school, I decided to take basketball serious. And being a big kid, I was dunking as a freshman. And so all these coaches would tell me that I had potential, you know, to be a good high school basketball player, to play college and possibly the pros and all this stuff. And so I soon found out that I could hide the perversion that I was dealing with behind basketball. And so everybody knew me as Rashad, the basketball player, but I'm going back home, still stealing my sister's clothing. We're in high school at this point. I'm still stealing her clothing, still doing the same stuff that I have been doing since a child. And so in Matthew chapter 6, it says that our eyes are the lamp to our body. And if we allow darkness into our eyes, we allow darkness into our body. Mm. And so at 17 years old, this was maybe around my junior summer going into my senior year of high school, I get into a down-low secret homosexual relationship with two males who later on plan to transition to females. Nobody knew about this. I would leave basketball games, Isaiah, after scoring 30 and everybody celebrating you and everything, and then I would go have sex with these guys.
Wow.
And they were openly gay, flamboyant guys. And I remember the first time as a 17-year-old doing something sexual with a man. You know, it started off with oral sex, then it led to anal sex, then other weird stuff, you know, and I'm doing this in high school. Nobody knows about it. And this really opened an even deeper door for me. Like, I felt so trapped. It's like when I opened that door, it was levels to it. It's like at 8 years old, there's the RuPaul's Drag Race. Then, you know, at 13, there's the gay porn. And now I'm actually mimicking what I had watched on the gay porn. Man. You know, I would watch this porn and go to sleep. And sometimes I would have these visions of me having sex with these guys and I just couldn't control it. So then I'll just leave. I'll tell my parents I'm going to play ball at the gym or whatever. And I'm going to have sex with these guys. And I remember the first time I did something sexual with a dude, it was oral sex. I remember feeling so dirty. I remember even driving after leaving. I'm driving. I'm like, I literally said out my mouth, Isaiah. I said, Rashad, why did you do that? Like, I felt disgusting. I felt like, man, what are you doing? But I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I just kept doing it and doing it. And so this went on through my later years of high school. Like I said, I played basketball in high school. So my senior year of high school, I get a college basketball scholarship. And I go to college. My parents drop me off. Now that I'm in college, I don't have that Christian standard anymore. I don't have, my parents, I wouldn't say they sheltered me, but they really made sure that Jesus was uplifted in our house. So there were certain things that we couldn't do. I mean, they did a really great job raising me. They taught us the word of God. I went to Christian school and then I went to public school later on. But, you know, they always made sure that we had Jesus, Jesus was taught in the home and the standard of Jesus was in the home. So now that I'm in college, I don't have my parents around. I'm by myself. So I start wilding out. And anybody watching who used to be a college athlete, you know that you don't even have to be the best player on the team. As long as you got the little Nike gear and the clothes that they give you on the team and they see that, it's automatic sex for you anywhere, girls anywhere. So I got in this relationship with this girl. I'm having sex with her. And then on breaks, you know, in college, when they send you back home for breaks and stuff, I'm going back home and having sex with these guys back home. And she don't even know about it. I'm confused. I'm having sex with her. And then I'm having sex with these guys at the same time. And so I'm getting into drinking. I'm getting into this party scene and all this stuff. And so this went on for about 2 years. And I tell people that life of sin, it never brings you any peace. That's it never brings you any true joy. I remember being at my all-time low at the end of 2020. And at this time, I had transferred to this school to play ball. And I got a 0.66 GPA because I'm just struggling. I'm just going through it. And my mom, who's a powerful, Holy Ghost-filled woman of God, she had a friend who was a prophet, a true prophet of the Lord. And she called me and she said, son, the Lord wants me to tell you that you're going to be a preacher of the gospel.
Come on.
Now, growing up in the church, I thought that was just cliche stuff. You know, I'm like, all right, she won't even know what she's saying. She don't know how I'm living. And then also my mom, her being a spirit-filled woman, she would walk through the home speaking in tongues. Come on. I remember even like, I'm laying in the bed, I'm sleeping, and 3 o'clock in the morning, she's taking oil and making crosses on my forehead. And I used to laugh at that stuff, Isaiah. I used to be honest with you, I used to think that stuff was goofy. Yeah. I'm like, man, that stuff is that's crazy. Ain't no way that stuff is not real. But this prophet, she tells me this at the end of 2020. And when she says this, it was just like, you know, it didn't really have no effect on me like that. I was just like, all right, cool. Like she's it's this cliche Christianity. And so around this time, the end of 2020, I quit college basketball. I said, you know what? I'm going to really go deep and explore my sexuality. And so I'm a strong believer in soul ties, not only by what the Bible says, and there may be some people that disagree with this theologically, but also what happened in my own life, because sex is not just a physical thing. That's it's right. Also a spiritual thing, a spiritual thing. And so I tell people, like, you know, you're having sex with all these different people. You're becoming one flesh with all these people. And the same things that they're doing, dealing with or whatever, you may start dealing with those same things. So I started having this strong desire because I was having sex with these men who later planned to transition to females. I started having this same desire within myself to dress like a female, act like a female, wear his. So I'm going to, I used to buy women's underwear. Like I used to buy women's underwear, wear women's underwear. And now looking back at it, Isaiah, where the enemy wanted me to go was down that transgender route, like going up down that sex change route, because I would have these thoughts like, why don't you cut off your penis? Maybe I will cut off my penis one day.
Demons, because man, demonic.
It's demons. I had so many demons. And it's like, it's just levels to this perversion stuff. It starts small and then it goes here and it goes, it just keeps growing. And so I'm dressing like a woman, acting like a woman, doing all this stuff, still having sex with these men and stuff. And at the beginning of 2021, I had this around January, February, I kept having these thoughts come across my mind. Like, Rashad, you tried the drugs. You tried the sex. You tried the girls. You tried the guys. You tried all these things, and you still have no fulfillment. You still feel empty. Why don't you find Jesus? And I remember this, like, I didn't know what they were, where they were coming from. It was just these strong urges, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit putting that impression on my heart. And, you know, you were saying how as Christian parents, we should really guard what our children are watching and stuff. I think that's the powerful thing about raising your kids up in the Lord, because since I was raised up in the Lord, even though I went into that lifestyle that was opposite from what I was taught, the Bible says when you train up a child in the word, the word will never leave them. And so I still like, I feel like it was just Jesus trying to like grab a hold on me, like, hey, like, come back, you know, because I grew up in the church, all this stuff. But, you know,
did your parents have any clue what is going on, that you're dressing like a girl, all the underwear, the guys? They are clueless to all of this. It's completely hidden.
Clueless.
Okay.
Clueless. Okay. I don't like, they knew, they knew me and my sister were living in sin, but they didn't know it was like that deep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't know it was that deep. But, you know, one day I'm going through this my all-time low, my ultimate low. And I'm in my dorm room, and I put my feet to the headboard, and my head is at the end of the bed. And I'm laying in my dorm room. I'm just laying on the bed. And I said this prayer. And I don't know. I was just going through this hard time. I was like, man, I'm just going to call on Jesus. And I said, Lord, I know if I die tonight, I got a free ticket in my pocket to hell. But the only way I'm going to serve you is if you show me that you're real, because my mom says you're real. My grandma says you're real. My pop says you're real. My pastor back home says you're real. But Lord, you're going to have to reveal yourself to me. And the reason why I said that, Isaiah, is because I knew if I became a Christian, I was going to have to give up the sinful lifestyle. I was going to have to give up the fornication, the homosexuality, the pornography, the drug, all that stuff I was doing. I said, I knew I was going to have to give that up. But why would I give these things up for a fake God?
Come on.
You know, so I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to really reveal yourself to me. And if you reveal yourself to me, then I'll give up my life, because I'm tired. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I don't want to live anymore. I would even have slight thoughts of suicide. Like, what if you were to kill yourself today? Would anybody care about you? That stuff is demonic.
Yeah.
You know, it was just demons. And a few days later, after I say this prayer, I go and hang out with one of my friends at the time. And this specific day, this was February of 2021, this specific day, I had a crop top, a jean jacket, silk pants, and white acrylic toenails, blonde hair. I used to get my eyebrows done, used to get my nails done, used to wear makeup,
so
all that stuff.
You're full on, like, dressing like a girl. I mean, full on.
Yeah, full on dressing.
Oh, my goodness.
Full on dressing like a girl. And this specific, I'm dressed like that, hanging out with this girl, with this my friend at the time. And I leave the place where we were at, and I go into my truck by myself. I go into my truck to head back to my dorm room. When I get into my truck, Isaiah, I felt a strong presence. I didn't know what it was. The way I can explain it in the spirit was like a thick consistency. You know, in the Old Testament, when it says the Holy Spirit would fill the temple and smoke would fill the temple, that's what it felt like in the spirit. It was like something is heavy in here. And when I turned to the passenger side, boom. Holy Spirit struck me right there. I felt the presence of God so strong where I literally lifted my hands just like this. I lifted my hands. I said, Lord, I give the homosexuality up. I give the pornography up, the sinful lifestyle up, God. I give my life to you. This was February of 2021. And I started having this emotional moment with the Lord. It was real. It was like, I tell people, I felt the love, the fear, and conviction of God in my truck. It was like, I just knew he was real. Because remember, a few days before that, I prayed. I said, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And he loved me enough to, like, it was like a Paul on the road of Damascus moment when Paul is on the road of Damascus and he sees that light. And Jesus is like, why are you persecuting me, Saul? Right. And Paul is in surrender mode. He's like, he can't even move because he just felt he just experienced the glory of God. And the glory of God was in my truck. And that's why I tell people also, you don't have to come to church to experience the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying, you know, that whole false doctrine that you don't have to go to church. No, we need the church. Yeah. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints, right? But, man, like, Jesus can meet you where you at. And for anybody watching this, Jesus can meet you where you at. Wherever you at right now, Jesus can meet me. He met me in the parking lot, in my truck, dressed as a woman.
Wow. Dude. Chills.
Spirit of God met me in my truck. And I'm just having this emotional moment with the Lord. And I literally just, I didn't say the sinner's prayer or anything, but I kind of did this confession, like, Lord, I give my life to you. I completely give my life to you. I surrender. And that night was the first night I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, the soft, still voice of the Holy Spirit. And he told me, he said, you're going to tell your mom everything that you've done in your past.
Wow.
And I'm driving back to my dorm. I'm like, Lord, why do you want me to do that? He said, son, in doing so, you're going to have, there's going to be major breakthrough in your life. And so I remember getting back home and I felt this fire, Isaiah. I felt this fire. That same night I got saved, I get back into my dorm room. Something was different. It's almost like God had, like, overnight, and not even overnight, in a few minutes, has redeemed my mind back to who the man that he had called me to be on this earth. I took all the woman's clothing that I had. I put them in a bag, the woman's underwear. I put them in a bag to put them in the trash. I took the toenail clipper and I was taking the fake white acrylic toenails that I had on and all this stuff. And I said, I was telling myself, I'm like, I'm a man of God. I even went back like the next day, either the day or two, afterwards, I'm going to Walmart to get black dye to dye my hair back black because I had blonde hair. And I'm not saying blonde hair is a sin. I'm just saying I was very feminine, you know, and I know the reason why I was doing those things. I'm like, no, I'm a man of God. And for about a week, the Lord just kept telling me, he said, son, you're going to tell your mom everything that you've done in your past. I said, Lord, why do you want me to do that? Like, and if you know anything about my mom, Isaiah, bro, like, she's a like spirit filled woman. So I didn't want to, you know, they didn't play that gay stuff you know, in a homophobic way, but she stood on the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, both of my parents, they stood on the word of God. And so the Lord just kept telling me this. And so one day, about a week after I had that experience in my truck, I said, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. And I called my mom. Once I pressed her name to call, I felt the Holy Spirit come over me. It was almost like chills on my body. And it was like boldness. It was like, Lord, the Lord was giving me the courage and the boldness to confess to her. And I started telling her, when she said hello, I just started confessing to her. I said, Mom, I used to bring this man in your home, this boy. I used to bring him in your home. We used to have sex in this bedroom, that bedroom. When you used to go to work, Mom, I used to bring these boys into our home at 17 years old, 18. I used to bring these boys into your home. We used to have sex here. I told her about the experience that I had. I told her about the trauma, all these things. And she stayed quiet for about 45 minutes to an hour. And the first thing she said was, son, thank you for telling me this. And doing this, God is about to give you major breakthrough in your life.
Wow.
It's about to be major breakthrough. It was the same exact words that the Holy Spirit had told me the night I gave my life to Jesus. And I remember we just started chatting it up and we said bye and everything. And I was on the corner of my bed when I was confessing to my mom. And I didn't even know the scripture at the time that said, when you confess your faults to another brother or sister, you shall be healed.
Yeah.
And the revelation I got from that scripture, from experience, is that when you confess that you have done, like, there's a psychological renewal and emotional renewal. It's almost like a burden is lifted off of you. And I remember I'm on the side of the bed, we say bye, and I lay back on my bed as like a form of relief, like, man, I just did that. And in the spirit, Isaiah, I felt a chokehold on me. It was a chokehold on me. It was Satan, and it lifted off of me, and I could feel demonic spirits leave my body. I knew in that moment, spirit of homosexuality, all these things, they started just lifting off my, like, I felt it was spirit, it was deliverance. I didn't even know what Holy Ghost deliverance and all that stuff was. It was just like, God was delivering me in that moment. And after that, I just kept started saying, like, Lord, I'm free. I'm free. I started smiling and I started feeling, I was like, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And, by the grace of God, I boast in the Lord when I say this, by the grace of God, by next month in February, it'll be 4 years since I gave my life to Christ. And I haven't gone back to, I haven't watched a lick of pornography, haven't gone back to homosexuality. Like, it was like what people would call cold turkey, but it wasn't cold turkey. It was the Holy Spirit that literally took hold of my life. and he led me and he guided me. I remember as a new Christian, as a baby believer, and this might help somebody. I remember, you know, the first few weeks, for a few days, you get saved and, you know, it's all sweet and stuff. Then you start getting those temptations. And I would hear the enemy say, go back to that guy. You have it. You have the number in your phone. Go back to that girl. You know, go masturbate. And the lotion, Isaiah, the Vaseline is right there. I can go ahead and go and just do it. But since that experience that I had with the Lord was so real, I will lock my fist like this. I will lock my fist like this, and I would breathe in and out because I didn't know what else to do as a new believer. I didn't know. I would just breathe in and out, and I would start praying. I said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And then the erection will go away. The temptation will go away. And it's like every time I abstained and every time I just fought, like I submitted to the Lord, it's like he just brought me deeper and deeper with him. And so a month after I got saved in March of 2021, I started the same platform I was using for sin. I started using it to spread the gospel. And I was sharing my testimony. I was sharing my testimony with my friends and in my family. Like, Lord, guys, this is what the Lord has delivered me from. This is what he set me free from. And in the summer of 2021, I had a sister in Christ who told me, she said, Rashad, you're posting these videos on Instagram. You should download TikTok and maybe post these videos on TikTok. It will probably reach a lot of people. And I didn't know much about TikTok because it just started popping at that time. And so I said, okay, cool. I'll download TikTok. And I started posting my videos on there. And in 4 weeks of owning a TikTok account, I went from zero to 150K followers.
Wow.
Just spreading the gospel. I wasn't even sharing my testimony. I was just being bold and sharing what I felt the Lord was putting on my heart. And that's when the Lord started confirming to me that he wanted me to use the gift of an evangelist, to use that to spread the word of God on social media and to spread the gospel. And so through doing that, in February of 2022, a year after I got saved, my wife, who was also doing online ministry, we had met through just online ministry on Instagram and stuff, and we had became friends. And it was very pure. We were just doing Bible studies. We were just talking about Jesus and stuff. And then I started catching feelings for her. And since the relationship was so pure, I was like, I was scared, Isaiah, because I was like, man, if I share my feelings with her, she's gonna like, she may say I'm exposed me as a man of God for being some type of creep or whatever. But I was like, I just felt from the Lord, like, this is your wife. So I ended up shooting my shot. I told her, I said, hey, this is what, you know, this, I didn't even tell her the Lord said. I just said, hey, I like you. And, you know, I just want to court you. And she was like, I've been feeling the same thing from the Lord. Like, I've been feeling like the Lord is confirming to you that you're my husband. And we started courting, and then we got married June 15th of 2022.
Come
a
on.
A year later, we found out we were pregnant with our firstborn son, Jaira Ezekiel Vermeer. And so God has completely changed my life. And a lot of people, when they see my testimony and they hear that part of my testimony, they think that's like the highlight of my testimony. Like, oh, he's really saved because he got a wife and a son. But the highlight of my testimony is not that I went from gay to straight. It's that I went from gay to a relationship with Jesus. And it was in my relationship with Jesus that God switched my desires and pruned me and hanging around other men of God who were providing for their family and really living it out. It encouraged me and it convicted me in the habits that I had to become better. And yeah, that's my testimony of what God has done in my life.
Dude, you know, it's so interesting when you're talking about this. I'm just thinking about how many young people out there are struggling with the same thing you struggled with, because a door was open when they were younger, a door was opened by a family member, and they do not realize, and I want to say this because I know some of them will be searching up these things on YouTube, right? How to leave a gay lifestyle, I don't want to be gay anymore, and all the stuff that they're searching because they're hurting, they're broken, they're in bondage. How many of them don't realize that there is freedom, that you can actually be delivered, you can actually be healed? And you know, there's a lot of Christians that are scared, which is mind-boggling, to say you can be delivered from homosexuality. I don't know why we're afraid to say that. It's like, we don't want to offend anybody. How is it offensive to tell somebody you can be free? You can be delivered. God can set you free from that. And we got to just call it what it is. It's a spirit. Yeah. It's something in there that starts telling you you're in the wrong body. We shouldn't do this. We dress like this, and starting to try to change your God-given identity. And we are afraid as the church to speak out against this. Your testimony is such hope for people that have friends and family. And you know what? There's parents watching right now. In fact, there's some of you I know, like I actually personally know you in the chat, that you have kids that are living a homosexual lifestyle. And I want you to know that there is hope, that God can deliver them, that God can set them free. I mean, I'm just thinking in my head, you were dressing as a woman, get radically saved, and then weeks later, you're posting on TikTok, reaching people, preaching the gospel. I mean, it was such a radical Saul to Paul conversion that you had. And then you say, like, I was dressed as a woman in my truck when God encountered me. So many of you think, well, my kid has to get their act together before God delivers them. My kid has to get right before God saves them. Guys, when I got saved, I was saying, this is going to be my last time ever going to church. And I was a self-proclaimed atheist when I got saved. It wasn't like, I'm going to get my life right first. You don't need to take a shower before you take a shower. The Lord is the one that will meet you where you are. Some of you are watching this right now, living that lifestyle. Some of you are watching this. You're a man dressed as a woman as I'm speaking. And you don't think God can save you? You don't think God can heal you? You think you got to wait until you get your act together? No, you don't have to wait until you get your act together. The Lord is the one that will cleanse you and the one that will wash you. What was the response of friends and family? Obviously, they all knew you before. Well, now, you know, it was hidden from some of your family, but now your family's hearing your testimony. What's the reaction of your mom, your dad, your sister, friends of yours that knew you from the past? Now they see you preaching, obviously. They see you. You're this digital evangelist. You're also sharing at different churches, different Christian television I've seen that you've been on. What is some of their responses to this like radical change in you?
Well, my parents were very supportive. You know, they were supportive in me coming to Christ. They never bashed me or anything. Really, to be honest with you, as a new believer, it didn't take me too long to realize that there were people in the church who were condoning and accepting the same things that God had delivered me from. So I'm seeing people in the church saying that you can be gay and Christian at the same time. I'm seeing people in the church saying you can watch pornography and be a Christian. Pastors saying you can live in sin and all this compromise. And I remember as a new believer, it was shocking to me because my faith and my the way I learned to be a Christian was from the Word. The first book of the Bible I read as a new believer in February, end of February, beginning of March of 2021 was Romans chapter 1. Wow, and I'm reading Romans chapter 1 and I'm seeing, And I'm seeing how Paul is boldly professing, you know, about certain sins and how, you know, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven and reprobate minds. And then he ends the chapter saying that even those who approve of these things will also inherit the same hellfire judgment as those who practice them. And I remember as I read this, I said, Lord, man, I was just so grieved in my spirit, Isaiah, because I'm looking around. At this time, I had transferred to this Christian college in Arizona, and I'm seeing people who are saying, who are my age, young people who are saying that they're called to ministry, living in sin, doing a whole bunch of stuff, and it was grieving me. I was like, Lord, this is like what it says here in Romans chapter 1. So in my family, there were some people that I realized that were claiming to be Christian like my whole life. But it wasn't biblical Christianity.
Wow.
It was like, you know what I mean? Friends that, you know, they said they were Christian, just like Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far, far from me. And so I got a lot of hate from the lukewarm Christians. Yeah. Like I was real. I wasn't playing about God. Like it was serious, you know? And I even had people tell me, you know, in my family, you don't need to be sharing your testimony like that. You don't need to be that open. I'm like, yo, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 that we're called to expose the unfruitful works of darkness.
Yes.
That's why I'm so open about my testimony. I'm unashamed. I'm set free. I'm delivered. So if somebody wants to judge me for my testimony, the word of God says in Revelation chapter 12 and 11 that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to profess what God has done in my life. And so it was hate from a lot of places.
That's so good. Yeah, I want to also talk about just from someone who came out of that gay lifestyle. There is a big trend right now online in the body of Christ, and sadly, pastors are preaching this. I'll call them woke pastors, but they're preaching that you can be a gay Christian. And let me clarify when I say a gay Christian. I'm talking about you can be living openly a gay lifestyle without any trying to fight it, any warfare, nothing. You're just accepting that you're living a gay lifestyle, and at the same time, be in the will of God, be doing what God has called you to do, and be a Christian at the same time. One of the things that was so powerful when you talked to those two gay pastors, which, guys, if you want to see that clip, Just type in Rashad Vermeij and then type in like confronts gay pastors and you'll see it. It's like 700,000 views. You'll see the clip I'm talking about. But you're telling those guys like in love, and it is in love, guys. There's no, we have nothing to gain by saying the truth that we're saying, but you're saying in love, like if you are living an openly accepting gay lifestyle, you are not a Christian. You cannot be a gay Christian. So for those that might be in the chat that are like, well, I'm living a gay lifestyle, but I'm also a Christian. Just speak to that a little bit. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's alarming. It's sad that pastors are okay with this and they're preaching this. We know the Bible teaches against this, but what are some of your thoughts on the whole, I'm openly a gay Christian and that kind of trend that's been going on recently?
This is where my righteous indignation comes from. My righteous indignation, Isaiah, is not towards the LGBTQ community. I believe that revival is coming to the LGBTQ community. I believe it's already happening. So my righteous indignation and the boldness that people see me rebuking and stuff, it does not, you will never catch me rebuking an unbelieving person who was in the LGBTQ community. Where that righteous anger comes from is when people say that I can be gay and I can live this demonic lifestyle at the same time. And it's not because I just want to combat against them or I want to come like just make a stance, but it's confusing people who don't know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Because so many people, when I evangelize, they say, oh, you know, I would love to give my life to Jesus, but why would I want to give my life to somebody who, you know, accepts lifestyles that is what I live? Because they're looking at the church from the outside in and they're seeing mixed signals. Mm. It's like we don't even stand on nothing. And so it's confusing so many different people. And what is happening now is it's the toleration of Jezebel. In Revelation chapter 2, you know, Jesus is speaking to these churches and he's saying, the church of Thyatira, he's saying, you did all these good things. And he says, nevertheless, you tolerate that woman Jezebel. And so many churches, especially in America, are just compromising on this issue because they're afraid to lose money, popularity, likes, comments. I mean, you see it, Isaiah. Every time you mention this stuff and you talk about it, it's like automatic persecution, right? Yeah. And so, like, we really have to be bold as believers. And one thing I've realized is that it seems like the LGBTQ can be more bold than Christians at times.
Preach.
True. Because if, as a Christian, if I go into the LGBTQ camp, and I say, I disagree with you guys on this. This is wrong. They all are in unity. But it's the church that has confusing, weird, demonic doctrines trying to, like, appease to this community. Like, oh, we got to be love and we got to do this and we can't really say it like that. No, we have to have love. Yes, we have to have compassion, but we also have to have truth as well. And where does that truth come from? It comes from the word of God. And there's such a fight for truth right now. We have to be bold as believers and say, no, this is what the Bible says.
That's so good. Now, do you have a lot of people that are, they see your testimonies on TikTok, on YouTube and all of that. Have you had comments or people reach out that were like, I'm in this lifestyle, I want to get out, or your testimony helped me get free from this, your testimony helped me come out of this? Do you get those messages or engage with people that are coming out of that lifestyle and getting free from that?
A lot of people have hit me up, even celebrities have hit me up, you know, about my testimony and have, you know, shared their struggles and things that they go through. So it's just amazing to see how God is using my testimony to reach millions across the world, people in Africa, people in India, Asia, not just in America, but all across the world. Like, hey, man, you don't know. Oh, man, this is a powerful testimony, Isaiah. 2 days ago, I went to go preach at a prison.
Wow.
And I'm preaching this guy, this pastor at a local church. He had invited me because that's what he does. And he said, I just want you to come preach and share your testimony. So I'm preaching at this prison. And there's this guy. I mean, he's like 60-year-old guy, older gentleman, sitting in the front row. You would have never thought he struggled with anything and of that lifestyle. And he comes up to me after my sermon. And he says, man, like, you don't really understand what you did up there. I have lipstick and panties in my room right now that I just keep because I struggle with that lifestyle. And, you know, in the moment, you have to have composure, you have to have character, but I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Like, I was shocked. And he said, while I was sitting in the chair listening to your sermon, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that I need to throw them away.
Come on. In the prison.
In the prison. It was like a correctional facility. It's for people who are transitioning from the prison to okay. the outside world. Yeah. So that's where they come to. And I was just like, it just encouraged me to know, like, because there's so many people, Isaiah, that tell me you shouldn't say it like that. Mm-hmm. Just tell your testimony, but don't go into the details. Don't mention the anal sex. Don't mention the oral sex, all that stuff. But I've seen through my authenticity that the Holy Spirit has given me how it's bringing freedom to people. Mm-hmm. To even share their testimonies and be set free. So there's so many testimonies around the world of people who have hit me up who are struggling with that lifestyle.
And I think people don't realize is that it's not loving to tell somebody that you can't get freedom from that, right? So we think like it's loving to tell them you could just be a gay Christian, do whatever you want. No, actually what's loving is to say, I know you don't want to live this lifestyle. I know you feel trapped and in bondage, but God can set you free. That's loving. Because there's a lot of people that don't want that. There's guys that will come to me and say, nobody knows this. I would never get with a guy or whatever, but I have these gay desires. I don't know where they came from. Well, I'll tell you where they came from. Usually it's from watching pornography. People don't realize this, Rashad. When you start watching pornography or opening yourself up for you, it was even more dramatic because you were eight watching just that drag show. And it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't considered pornography, but that was the open door for you to go down that road. So it was even, I would say, more innocent than pornography. But here's what a lot of guys don't realize. They start watching pornography. When you open that spiritual door, you don't get to say what comes through. And when you open the door to pornography, it doesn't have to be gay pornography. That spirit of perversion comes in, which perversion is that wrong version of something, that counterfeit version. And then all of a sudden, here you are, regular girl, regular guy. You open the door to pornography because, you know, everybody else watches it. It's just, it is what it is. And now all of a sudden, you're getting these gay desires that you don't want. You don't know what to do about. You can't get free from. And then some person comes by, some pastor, and says, oh, it's fine. It's normal. Everybody struggles with that. And God's okay. God's accepting. Why would we tell people God's accepting of demons? Why would we tell people that God's okay with our bondage? What love says is, bro, you don't have to struggle like that. God can deliver you tonight. God can set you free right now. In your case, God can set you free if you're dressed as the opposite gender, sitting in your truck. The Lord can do it and can deliver. And so for me, that's love. Love is not, oh, you're fine. Stay where you are. We're going to tolerate. We're going to accept. There's nothing loving about accepting. Like if somebody's drowning and you come by in a lifeboat, love doesn't say, oh, you're fine where you're at. You're good drowning. Just keep drowning. You're good. God's okay with you drowning. No, love says, dude, you are drowning. You're depressed. You're anxious. You're suicidal, which we all know. You could literally just Google this, that when you look at the LGBTQ community, it's like 90%+ have all of these mental illnesses of anxiety, of depression, of suicide, of rage, of anger, all of these things, right? And so there's something about it. There's a price to it. And the Lord can set free. And we need bold voices like you that will speak out and say, the Lord can set you free. God does not want you to struggle forever. For those of you watching, of course, you know, there's thousands of people on here. There's some of you watching and will watch on the replay. You are going through exactly what I'm talking about. And you're suffering in silence. You're living a secret life. I love what you pointed out. I just want to point this out again, Rashad. Confessing your sin one to another so that you may be healed. There is power in confessing. In your case, when you confess to your mom, the Lord brought deliverance. I mean, think about that. Some of you in the chat, what might be holding you back from deliverance is confessing. Some of you, I'm just telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit on this. You need to tonight confess to your wife what you've been doing. You need to confess to your husband right now what you've been doing, the sin you've been in. Some of you need to confess to your pastor. Some of you need to confess to your friend. This is biblical. Now, I'm not saying go to, you know, a Catholic priest and say, forgive me my sins. No, I'm saying there's power when you take something out of darkness and expose it into the light. Because the devil has power over that which is hidden in darkness. When you expose that, the devil loses his grip on you and his power on you. And then you're able to get healed and able to get delivered. If you keep it in the darkness, how is God going to heal and deliver when you're hiding what you're trying to get free from? So you really have to bring that out in the open, bring that out in the light. And man, I mean, your testimony, bro, is so powerful because, again, so many parents don't realize that these little things in our lives can open the door. And I'm just thinking the millions of kids that are demonized from these shows that are on primetime television. Yeah. And this, your testimony just makes me realize more is like, we really do need deliverance in the body of Christ. We really need deliverance in general. We need to talk about it. We need to discuss it. We have to call demonic what's demonic and stop just saying, oh, you just have an issue or you're just struggling. No, if that's spiritual, The Lord can set you free, which is actually something I want to ask you. What do you think about, or what do you say to people that are maybe in the chat, maybe have family members like this, that they're living that gay lifestyle and they say, Rashad, I was born this way. This is how God made me. I don't need to change because this is how God designed me and I was just born this way. I'm fine. What are your thoughts on the whole I was born this way conversation when it comes to the gay lifestyle?
Yeah, nobody was born gay. Nobody can be born gay. That goes against the character and nature of God, because we were all made in the image and likeness of God. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says that before we were even formed in our mother's womb, God knew who we were. So if God's word says that he's against it, why would he create somebody with that desire? You know, and even if people do believe that you can be born gay, the Bible says ye must be born again.
Come on.
And so we have to repent and we have to turn away from our sin. And, you know, for everybody, sin manifests different for everybody. Some people, homosexuality wasn't their struggle, but pornography was their struggle, right? Yeah. Or they may have been heterosexual, but they just couldn't stop having sex with women. You know, all of it is sin, you know, and I feel like sometimes as a church, we can kind of just focus on homosexuality.
You're right.
But, you know, it's all sexual sin. You know, pornography is sexual sin. Like, the Bible doesn't just say homosexuals will go to hell. It says fornicators. If you practice any type of sin without repentance, if I practice lying and I just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, That person who practiced that will go to hell the same way as a homosexual who practices, you know, that. So there needs to be balance. I also say this, Isaiah. There's this argument saying that people who have same-sex attraction or like a same-sex temptation, that they have a demon and they need to be delivered. And I've seen that argument. And I'll say this, and some people who are watching the chat, even you, Isaiah, I don't know if you'll agree with this. But same-sex attraction is not demonic. It's a temptation. It's a form of temptation. Because if someone says that who was delivered from promiscuity, like lust with woman, and they say I still want to have sex with woman, right? We wouldn't attack it the same way as we do, you know, homosexuality.
Yeah.
And I feel like there needs to be balance. You know, there's some people who have came out the LGBTQ lifestyle. And, you know, pastors in certain ministries are trying to push a woman on them, saying like, oh, now you need to, this is what's going to make you, you need to be straight now. You know, that's a fruit of you being saved. And that's not true. Some of them may never get married to a woman because they're just not attracted. But though they have been delivered, they may still have that attraction. And they just learn how to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to overcome that. Now, for me, myself, I don't have that attraction anymore.
Yeah.
You know, God has completely taken that desire away. So I have the argument of, yes, God can take that attraction away from you if you want it, if you desire it, God can take that attraction away from you. I mean, the same way he did mine. But I had to also learn that everybody has their own journey from coming out of homosexuality. Some people still have that attraction. And I feel like some Christians demonize them and say, oh, you need to still be delivered. You're not saved. You need to be delivered. And it's like, no, we need to have more of a balance with this, you know?
Yeah, I think there's that process of sanctification where with the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I just taught on this actually on Sunday, the Holy Spirit's a person. His job is to conform us into the image of Christ. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit, the more time you spend with him, the more you become like him. So you start getting transformed and sanctified. And I would say to somebody that has that argument of like, well, I'm always going to have this desire, is you don't have to. The more you get connected to the Holy Spirit, you can get sanctified and become like Christ. And we know Christ did not have, let's just not even talk about homosexuality. Christ did not have this temptation and desire to constantly lie, or this temptation and desire to constantly curse, or this Christ wasn't like, I'm fighting my whole life to not curse. Now, he was tempted in every way, but overcame that temptation. So there's a difference between being tempted and having a constant desire to do these sinful things. So I personally believe when the Holy Spirit comes in you and you start being renewed and sanctified, part of that sanctification process is to remove desires for pornography, for alcohol, for drugs, for same-sex attraction, for this, for that, till you get to the place where you're conformed in the image of Christ. Because that's our goal. Our goal is not to be like Rashad or be like Isaiah or be like your favorite pastor. Our goal is to be Christ-like. That is what it literally means to be a Christian. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So he's the goal. And the Bible says, be holy as Christ is holy. So that's the end goal. And I would say for those people that are like, yeah, I'm always going to have this desire for guys, I would say you don't have to always have that desire. Just like pastors will preach, you're always going to battle lust. You're always going to struggle not to look at women. And I'm like, I don't, and I'm not trying to be rude or arrogant. The only person that I'm looking at is my wife. I only have eyes for one person, and I just refuse to believe that my entire life I'm going to be struggling if I'm outside, struggling if I'm at the mall. Oh, man, my eyes keep wandering. Like, the Lord delivered me from pornography. I was sleeping around. I was watching pornography every single day, and the Lord delivered me almost 15 years ago, and I've had no desire. I've not gone back, and I'm not battling that thing my whole life because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And let me just add this last point. If we say I have to wait till I die, and I just shared this on Sunday, if we say I have to wait till I die to get free from same-sex attraction or lust or alcohol addiction or cussing or any of these things, right? Again, I agree with what you said. Let's throw them all in the same boat. It's not just one sin that sends you to hell. If I'm saying or preaching you're going to have that sinful desire until you die, and then once you die, you no longer have that sinful desire, I'm actually saying death is the savior, not Christ. Because what we're saying is death will save you from that desire to sin, when in reality, it's not death that delivers me from the desire to sin. It's Christ and the finished work of the cross. So I'm sitting here going, look, if I have an ungodly desire, and again, let's blanket statement any ungodly desire, right? Let's say it's for drinking, it's for cussing, it's for porn, it's for same-sex attraction, a male, female, any of that, right? Here's what I'm going to do. Lord, I'm going to continue to come before you and say, God, take this from me. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be more like Christ. Now, of course, we don't need to demonize people and throw stuff at them and hit them with the Bible, but I would encourage that person to continue in prayer, to continue in fasting, to stay on that narrow road. And you're going to realize, as you get closer to Christ, his desires become your desires. As you get to know the Holy Spirit more, your life begins. That sanctification process happens. Some people, as like your testimony and my testimony, instantaneous, right? You get delivered, your desires are changed. Other people, they have that process and that journey where they keep struggling with that same desire, but the Lord can and the Lord will as you stay on that path of sanctification. But I think we got to be careful with both things. We have to be careful by saying, if you have this desire, you're not saved, because that's not true, which is what you were talking about. And we have to also be careful that we don't tell people, you're fine to have that desire, you could struggle your entire life, and God's cool with that, because I think that's also not true. I think there's a balance in the middle where we say, we're on the sanctification journey, and the Lord has, and watch this chat, the Lord has set me free, and the Lord is setting me free, right? The Bible says he's faithful to continue the work he's doing in us, even to when we stand before Christ and we're finally glorified and finally made perfect. Now, there's a couple places in the Bible where it says, like, a man that can control his tongue can be perfect. And there's another place where it talks about how you can be perfect. I think, and this, I'll go on record to say this, I think it's possible to walk in perfection, but I don't think anyone has ever done it but Christ, okay?
Yeah.
Is it possible? Well, the Bible says it is. It does say there's a possibility. But I personally believe the only one that's ever walked in sinless perfection is Christ himself. I don't think there's ever been another human that is, let's just say, never sin. But I would never say it's impossible to live without sin, because I believe that we're all on that journey. We're striving for holiness. We're striving. So if you are that person in the chat tonight, and you're struggling and you're battling, God can set you free. And I'll tell you, fight well. Keep fighting that battle. Keep fighting that sin. If you're still struggling right now, tonight, let's fight again. Let's come together again in prayer and say you can be delivered from that. And then look at Rashad and say, wait a minute. If God can deliver him, the Bible says what he does for one, shall he not do for another? And then use your faith and say, God, you delivered Rashad. I know I can be free from this. God, you delivered Isaiah. I know I can be delivered of this. And that is the beauty of tonight. As you're sharing your story, you're literally projecting faith and hope to people, and you're speaking the word of Christ saying God can set free. And then people in the chat are like, I didn't know that God can do this, but because of Rashad's testimony, now I know he can. I didn't know that God can heal, but now I know he can. I didn't know God can deliver from homosexuality, but now I know that he can. So I think that, yeah, there's freedom, there's deliverance. I think that this agenda that you've exposed and talked about is demonic, it's evil, it's a spirit of perversion. It's so, Rashad, it's so after our kids. And now, you know, you're a father now. It's like, we got to protect our kids from this. We got to be a shield for our kids. And we have to push back and say, not in my house. I'm not going to allow that show in my house. If you're watching shows where there's just one gay character on it, right? I'm not allowing that in my house. I'm not allowing that. And the same goes for fornication. If there's a show you're watching with your kids where there's open, you know, open adultery, that's not okay. I'm not allowing movies and shows in my house, Rashad, that have adultery in them, have fornication in them, because I just don't want to open up that. I don't want to open my house to that spirit. And I'll tell you this, bro. I didn't know your testimony like that. I only heard a little bit of clips. I did not know the whole watching the show at 8. Your testimony has made me even more alert tonight to say, okay, wait a minute. I got to be even more vigilant. What I believed before. Now, I've never heard anybody have a testimony like you where you say, I was 8 and I watched a show and this curiosity started. But now I'm even more doubling down to say, we got to really come against this stuff and make sure that we're not allowing this. We have to be priests of our home and make sure that we're not allowing this in our house. I guess any closing thoughts you have, and we're going to pray for the chat. And then I also would like to say, how could the church, and I asked another friend of this that came out of the lifestyle that was on my show a couple months ago, but I want to ask you this, and then any closing thoughts you have, feel free. I know I kind of went on a tangent there. I just wanted to give my perspective on that. Any closing thoughts you have, and then how can Christians, or we as the church, I would say, I know it's kind of like a cliche question, like how could we better minister to people that are in that lifestyle? Like if you could look back and say, when you were dressing like a woman, when you were living that, how could somebody as a Christian have ministered to you better? Or how can we better reach people in that community?
Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how we're called to speak the truth in love, right? Good. So we can't just have 100% truth, right? And just batting the truth. And then we can't just have 100% love. We need 50% love and we need 50% truth. And just remembering where we came from. You know, there was nobody that was born sanctified. Right. So we have to always remember where we came from so that we can reach that community. I will also say, man, we got to be very careful and make sure we're led by the Holy Spirit when reaching this community. Because sometimes one thing I've seen, and I'm not trying to call out any names or anything, I won't say any names, but some people who I believe they have a genuine heart to reach the LGBTQ, but they say stuff like the LGBTQ mafia or the alphabet community and all this. This is a community that has been damaged so much, because even in the world, they get bullied, right? They get bullied for their sexuality and stuff. So why as the church are we acting like the world, calling the church? I've seen pastors in their pulpits say, man, these faggots, these cis. We're not gonna win the LGBTQ that way. Good. We're not. We need to have love. We need to have the compassion of Jesus. And also, let's make sure the enemy doesn't pervert our love to where we're just, you know, just telling people, hey, Jesus loves you, but we're not telling them to repent. I believe that's one of the reasons why we have so many false converts in the church right now who think that they can just live in sin and still love Jesus at the same time, is because there's people going up to them telling them, hey, Jesus loves you, just say the sinner's prayer with me, but not telling them to repent from their sin. You know, the Bible is very clear that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so if we know that's what the Bible says, there should be a burden on us as believers. We should be grieved when we see people out there who are made in the image and likeness of God, who are out there in sin. We should have a burden to go out and reach their communities. During Pride Parade in June, when they celebrate, we should be out there preaching the gospel, not with signs saying, hey, you're going to hell. And you know, you're going to burn and all. No, but going out there with the love of Jesus and telling them, hey, Jesus loves you. He has a purpose for you. He doesn't want you living this way, and telling them the truth of the gospel. And I'm telling you, Brother Isaiah, there's a harvest coming from the LGBTQ. I know it. These people who are in the LGBTQ, whether they're gay, lesbian, non-binary, transgender, these are some of the most anointed people. I know it. I mean, look at my life. I was the person who was on the street in makeup, dresses, heels, all that stuff. And like, if someone were to walk past me in January of 2021, they will probably be like, ew. But later on that year, I'm reaching millions of people with the gospel, transformed. Right? So when I see people who are in the LGBTQ, I don't go up to them and, oh yeah, you're ill, look at you. No. I just declare life over them. And there's been numerous people. There's a video on my YouTube page a sister in well, she's a sister in Christ now, in Jesus' name, but she was a lesbian who was working in the Wendy's. And as I'm going up to the door, I see her and I notice she's like a masculine woman. And I remember the Lord was telling me to record these encounters because I do these interviews. And I don't just walk up to people with cameras and say, oh, yeah, you're on camera. But I just ask them, hey, you want to do this interview? And just asked her a few questions about Jesus and all this stuff. And she gave her life to Jesus in tears. The video's on my YouTube. There's a harvest coming from the LGBT community. And we have to put a burden. We have to make sure that we have a burden for souls, man, in these times.
That's so good. Let's say a prayer for all those watching. If you have a family or a friend living in this lifestyle, and not again, not just this lifestyle, any lifestyle of bondage or sin that they're fighting, I want you guys to begin to pray for them. Rashad, if you feel comfortable just saying a quick prayer for the audience, and then I'll pray for them as well before we let everyone know where they can find you and stuff like that. I mean, bro, it flew by. We've been live an hour and 10 minutes. I'm like, I feel like we just got started. It flew by. I definitely want to have you on again. You are anointed, bro. You're called. You are chosen by God. It's just an honor to have you on here and to be a brother with you. But yeah, any prayer that you want to pray or anything you'd want to pray over the chat, go for it. Just pray over the people.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we've been able to pour, Father God, into people who are made in your image, Lord, and your people on this chat, Father God. I just thank you for what you've done in my life, Lord. I pray that my testimony may be an encouragement, Father God, to someone out there, Lord, maybe somebody who's living that lifestyle, Father. I pray that conviction right now will seep through the screen, Father, in the name of Jesus. May your Holy Spirit conviction transform hearts right now, Lord, that they just may feel your fear and your love for them, Lord. Father, I pray right now for anybody watching this, Lord, who may have been molested when they were younger, trauma, or maybe a testimony like me where they were introduced, Father, I pray that you would just reveal your spirit to them, Father, as we are living in the end times, as we are living in the last days and time is running out. Lord, I pray, Lord, that under the sound of our voice, Father God, tonight, that they would just feel your conviction, Lord Jesus. You said in your word that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, Lord. So, Father, right now, we pray for every soul watching this, Lord, for the Christians watching this live, Lord. The Christians watching this live who may feel feel that fire, Lord, to go out there and reach the lost, Lord, and reach the LGBTQ. I pray, Father God, that you would just stir up that gift, Lord, stir up that fire in them, Lord Jesus, to win souls. And then also those, Father God, that don't know you, Father, I pray, Lord, that they would just feel your conviction tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we just pray, God, that you would touch every single person watching this, God. We just pray that you would heal, that you would deliver. Lord, anybody in the chat that's saying they're struggling with that demonic power, that demonic spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that delivers. You are the one that heals. And so we just command every unclean spirit to out of every person watching. Satan, you have no power over us. You have no authority over us. We command every spirit to go now in Jesus' name. You have no authority. In Jesus' name, you must go. We just speak the delivering power of God. Jesus said, if I cast the demons by the finger of God, the spirit of God, then you know the kingdom has come. And so, Father, we just pray your spirit and your kingdom would rest upon every single person watching this right now, that your delivering power would be released in Jesus' name, and that you would set people free through this broadcast, through this testimony, by your spirit, God. Send your mighty angels to minister to people according to Hebrews 1. We just pray your ministering angels, God, to touch lives, touch families. And I just pray, Lord, for those that have children in this lifestyle, family in this lifestyle, I just pray, Lord, that you would save them, God. You would deliver them, that some that are even in the chat that are like, I was born this way. I thank you, Lord, that we're not going to be born again that way. That when we're born again, we're born as new people, new desires. Yes. The old has passed away. The Bible says all things are new. Behold, the old has passed and everything is made new. So guys, that's desires. That's thoughts. That's the way you talk. That's the way you live. That's the born again experience. Yes. You can be a new creature tonight. And so, Father, we pray that repentance, that you would grant the gift of repentance over every person. The Bible says nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit first draws them. Holy Spirit, draw your people tonight. Draw them to you, not to us, but Lord, draw them to you. Lord, that I pray that they would repent, as Paul said in Acts 2:38. Peter said in Acts 2:38, you must repent of your sin. As Rashad said earlier, we got to repent, guys. I pray some of you would repent tonight, turn from your sin, and be washed by the blood of Jesus. Lord, anoint your people tonight, God. Bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome. Rashad, bro, thank you so much. Where can the people find you? I've linked your YouTube in the description, but let them know, Instagram, TikTok, wherever else you have, and anything you want to shout out let them know where to find you.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. Is this my first and last name, Rashad Ramey? On TikTok, it's the same thing, Rashad Ramey. And then on Facebook, Rashad Ramey. All my platforms are Rashad Ramey. So you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Awesome. Guys, please support what he's doing. Please get behind him. Subscribe to his channel. Let's stay linked in. I'm going to get you off here, but I'll stay on and take a love offering for you, and I'll send that to you tonight. But thank you so much, bro, for being on, and we'll definitely talk soon.
Thank you for having me on, bro.
Awesome. God bless you. Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir.
What a powerful testimony, guys. Wow. Wow. That is such a strong testimony. So blessed. And here's what I want to do. I want to bless his ministry. Anytime God is raising up these guys, I've talked to you guys about these before, these young guys that God is raising up, and girls, all right, ladies, and girls, that God is raising up, these revivalists that are reaching millions of people with the gospel, we got to get behind them. We have to support them. So I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to sow into them out of my own personal income, out of the ministry income as well. Whatever comes in, I'm going to be sending his way. So phenomenal, phenomenal testimony. You can give on isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. You can scan the QR code and I'll make sure that he gets that. I'm going to send him something tonight. But I know these testimonies, guys, are raw. I know they're real. There's a few people that I'm thinking of having on that have testimonies like this that are just raw. And I will warn you guys when I do, and if you have kids watching and stuff, but we can't sugarcoat what's happening. This is happening right now. Our kids are being exposed to this right now. I mean, that testimony is alarming, guys. 8 years old, and that primetime television drag show comes on, sparks a curiosity in him, and then here he is in his 20s dressing like a woman. Like, guys, that is no joke. There's a battle going on. We are exposing the enemy tonight. So here's all your links. As we always say, don't dine and dash. You can give them my website. I have Venmo on screen. I have PayPal.me on screen. I have Zelle on screen and Cash App on screen and linked in the comments and in the description. Okay, guys, we've been going strong with the podcast. We had Nicholas on a couple weeks ago. We had Pastor Mike last week. We're having just new guests on, powerful every week, guys. We're bringing people on. We're just grinding here, guys. We're going for it. If you don't know, Saturday, we are starting our 90 days. If you didn't watch the video I posted about future of the channel, this is pretty crazy, y'all. I just thought about this today. I was like, we're actually doing this. We are going to go live for 90 days straight, okay? Not 30, not 60. Wow, that's a lot of time, guys. I'm praying that I'll be able to do this because I hope it doesn't get... I don't think it will, but it's like, I hope I'm not 4 days in and I'm just like, nah, I can't do this. Not with my schedule. But as of right now, God willing, by the grace of God, starting Saturday, this Saturday, 2 o'clock Pacific time, 2 p.m., we will be going live for 90 days in a row, along with Monday night teachings, Tuesday night podcast, every single day live at 2 o'clock, reading through the Bible in 90 days, the entire Bible. So if you want to join that, you can log in and listen to me read the Bible while you're at school, while you're at work, and then when you get home, you can read it as well. You can read it along with me. You can just use me as an audio Bible, live stream, be in the comments, giving your input. Whatever way you look at it, we're getting through the Bible in 90 days, okay? Let me show you guys the Bible plan we're using as you guys give. Feel free to give, please. If you have the finances, give. We're not beggars, we're believers. If you can't afford it, all of our content is free. But hey, we're starting this on Saturday, right? Let me show you the plan. This is on the YouVersion Bible app. Let me see. Let me find the plan page. Here we go. Let's see. Plan info. Here it is. Okay, this is the plan right here. All right, so screenshot this. That is the plan that we are doing. That is the 90-day Bible in 90 days. Okay? Is that in focus? Let me see. There it is. Bible in 90 days. That's the plan. On YouVersion Bible app, we're going to be going through this together. Every single day, I will be live at 2 o'clock. Now, for the days that... What's the catch? There's no catch. For the days that I'm like traveling, like I'll be in Georgia preaching, so I will not be able to go live on that certain day. Some Sundays, let's say, or whatever. I'll pre-record it and I'll air it live on that time. But the days that I'm able to, which is going to be most of the days, I'm going to be live, sitting down, acknowledging comments, reading the Bible, and then praying for you guys every single day. So we'll see how this goes. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take. I want to say it's like 30 minutes to an hour of reading, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. The Cash App is on screen. It's also in the comments. It's just Isaiah Luke Saldivar. So $ Isaiah Luke Saldivar. Jared and Candace will be going live after me in about 10 minutes for worship and prayer. I have that redirected so you can stay on the show tonight and they'll take you to worship and prayer right after, which is going to be great as well. Go watch my update video, kind of just telling you guys where I'm at with Christian YouTube and all of that. It's just, yeah, you can go watch the video. I'm not going to go into it again and start re-bringing up everything I talked about in the video. We're just getting back to the basics. We're going to be doing our verse-by-verse book of Hebrews. Oh, okay. For those of you asking about the sermon that aired last night, what happened? The file was corrupted. That was actually something happened on my end when I rendered it. So last night's sermon that you only got to watch 30 minutes of, this is important, will be posted tomorrow. Probably tomorrow afternoon because we don't need to wait till the nighttime. So let's say tomorrow at, I don't know, noon, 2 o'clock. I don't know. Tomorrow, it's going to be airing. So I need you guys, even if you already saw the first 30 minutes, you got to watch the sermon through because if not, the other algorithm will literally say people clicked off the video because you think you already watched it. So just watch the sermon. I fixed the file. That will be uploaded tomorrow. That's the sermon from Sunday. So we have a lot of content. We have tonight. We have tomorrow's sermon. Saturday, we're starting our 90-day Bible challenge. 90-day Bible challenge. All right. And then thank you, Jared, for reminding me. February 23rd, I will be at the Legendary Conference in Antioch, California. So I will give you the info soon. I'll give you the address this week. I'll post it in the time. Sunday morning, February 23rd, Antioch, California. I'll be preaching. And then March 16th, I will be preaching at the North Georgia Revival. The North Georgia Revival. All right, North Georgia Revival. Okay, we're going to be reading in the NLT. It's easier to read. It's easier for people to understand. I usually study out of the New King James, but for the sake of reading and clarity and simplicity, and because I'm going to be reading the Bible every single day for like almost an hour, and you guys are as well, we're going to read the New Living Translation, but you can read any version you want. ESV is good. Excuse me. ESV. I like the NLT or the New King James. Those are the three I would recommend. So get your plan ready for Saturday, 2 p.m. every day. You could turn me on while you're at work. For a lot of you, that's like 5 p.m., I couldn't do at night because I already podcast and do stuff at night and I didn't want to like tie up every day. And then the morning time, we're homeschooling our kids now. And so be praying for us as well. I'll be praying for my wife. And so, yeah, I didn't want to just commit every morning to that because there will be times where I'm needing to help the kids with school or give my wife some relief while she's homeschooling or whatever. You know, I want to leave the mornings open, but I'll be every day at 2 o'clock. So the kids will be done with school. It'll be right in the middle of the day. We'll jump on live every single day. And we will be reading the Bible together. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So getting back to the basics here, guys. This will be a challenge for me as well to go live for 90 days because I go live 2 times a week right now, sometimes 3 times. This is the big change. I'm excited about it, though. I really feel like I need a challenge right now. And I need something just to motivate me, to push me over the edge, to just keep going. And this is going to be that for me. If anything, it's going to bless me and it's going to be growth for me. So you guys will get to come along in the journey. But anyways, yeah, 3 months, we're going to do the whole Bible. So that'll be exciting. That'll be exciting. The Bible is about 60 to 70 hours to read. So it'll be, yeah, it'll be, you know, 35 to 45 minutes a day, sometimes longer. 60 days. I was going to do it in 60 days. That's a little bit over an hour a day, which is a lot. I'll put on my TV, phone, and iPad. Thank you so much. You're awesome. You're so precious. Thank you. You're precious too. Whoever you are, thank you. 5 p.m. works perfect. Yeah, if you're on the East Coast, 5 p.m., it's just right there in the middle of the day. So hopefully it works out. And here's what we're going to do. So once we go live, it'll stay on the channel, on the live feed, okay? But after like 7 or 8 days, I don't want my whole live tab on YouTube to be clogged with these videos. So I'm going to make a playlist. I'll have it on the homepage. That playlist will have every video from the 90-Day Bible Challenge. But after like 7 days, I'll start archiving the older video into that playlist. So the whole channel won't be just cluttered. Okay, so we will do that. So if you don't see the videos, you're like, where did they go? They will be there forever on the channel in the 90-Day Bible Challenge playlist that will be on the homepage. Yeah, 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. That's California. We'll be reading the NLT using the 90-day Bible in 90 days on YouVersion. Okay, what other announcement I have? Okay, Antioch, there. Again, if you want a monthly partner, it'll help us out a lot. We're still looking for people to monthly partner for this year. You can go on my website, monthly partner. You'll get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, and then 1:30 p.m. partner calls every Thursday. Oh, and you know what? I need to change that because we're going to be live at 2 o'clock. So the Thursday partner call this week will remain the same at 1:30, but I need to talk to a few people and decide whether we're going to change the prayer call to 3 o'clock or to 1 o'clock. But we are not going to cancel the prayer call. I'm going to be very busy now that I think about it. Okay, we're homeschooling. We're going to be live every day, and we have a prayer call, and I'm going to be live Monday, and I'm going to be live Tuesday. That's a lot of stuff. It's okay, though. It's going to be good. But we're going to have to figure out the Thursday prayer call. I have a few people to talk to. We'll announce that. But this Thursday, if you're a monthly partner, the prayer call will still be at 1:30. We'll talk about changing it. And every Thursday, we're doing communion. Tanya's leading us in communion every single Thursday in the prayer call. We start with communion. So make sure when you jump on the monthly partner prayer call, if you're a YouTube member, you can get access to the prayer call. And if you are a monthly partner on the website, you'll get an email with a link to join the prayer call on Thursdays at 1:30. No, I've done 90 days a few times. I've done 30 days Bible in 30 days. I've done the 1 year Bible. This is my first time doing it on live. Yes, this is my first time doing it the way I'm doing it. But I've done it before in the past. I've just never done it where I'm reading it on live stream. 1 o'clock. Okay, everyone's saying one. Yeah, I have to talk to a few people because if we do it at one, we'll directly go into the Bible reading. And then I don't know if you guys want to keep the call going. I guess you can keep the call going during the live and watch it together. We'll figure it out. I'll talk to people tomorrow. And by Thursday, we will have a new time. But if you guys want one, then we'll make it work. We'll make it work. Can Carl come to the 90 days? He might make an appearance here and there. He might make an appearance here and there. When will you preach? Isaiah can show the app symbol to download. Yeah. And also go to my announcement video on my channel and it'll show this as well. The Bible in 90 days on YouVersion. But if you want the link to this, go to my video that I posted today and it has the link in the description, okay? So the video is called We Need to Talk, the Future of This Channel. So and in that description is the link to that Bible plan. And I'll show it when we're live together and all of that. It'll be good. But I would love to have all of you there on Saturday as the first one. Let's push in strong. It is what it is. Okay, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and cry about viewers, numbers, none of that. It is what it is. Just show up. It'll be great. Yeah, we did the New Testament in one sitting too. Shane, thank you for reminding me. We did the whole New Testament in one live stream. If you want to search the channel, the title of that video is something like, "This stream doesn't end until I finish the New Testament." And I read the entire New Testament in one stream. And that was very, very intense. All right. Now we're going to be going here in 2 minutes. As always, Monday and Tuesday, Jared and Candace follow my live with prayer and worship. These are two of our very best friends. My wife and I's best friends here, and I will link them where we're going. We're going here. If you're on Facebook, will we be doing the 90 day Bible on Facebook as well? We thought a lot about this and we decided, drum roll. Yes, we'll be live on Facebook as well. Confetti. Do I have confetti still? Let's see. Yay. We're also going to be on Facebook too. We haven't forgot about all our Facebook people. Yes, we'll be live on Facebook every day at 2 o'clock for all of my, how do I say, oldies but goodies. All of my people with wisdom will be live on Facebook. All right. So that will be great. We'll be live every day at 2 o'clock on Facebook. So you're not missing out. In Georgia, I'll be preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I will post that time very soon, Ann. Very soon. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Arlene. All the 8 Facebook people. Hey, you know what? Last night, our live stream got 30,000 views on Facebook. So they're still watching. They're watching, you know, even though the live got corrupted and I had deleted it because the video was only halfway. If you're on Facebook, come over back to YouTube. All right. Never lose your joy and laughter. Amen. Yeah, and Facebook's removing the censorship. So, hey, look, maybe they'll start pushing my stuff again. It's good times, y'all. You play pickleball with your grandkids? That's amazing, Christine. I love that. Guys, it's good times right now. All right? The censorship's lifting. Laws are changing. Things are happening, y'all. Good times. Show the bobblehead. Oh, yeah, the OG. I got the OG bobblehead here. His head's a little sideways. If you know, you know. That's the OG bobblehead. Oh, I have another one that a pastor got me when I preached there. And I have to show you guys. Somebody sent me this, which is nice of you. Thank you. I have another bobblehead, though, that a pastor gave me when I preached at their church that I'll have to bring in here and show you guys next time. All right. Love you guys. Saturday at 2 o'clock. I don't know if I'll be live Thursday. I got to get some stuff ready for the 90 days of streaming. You know, thumbnails made. Going to have a new thumbnail every day. Stuff like that. There's just like logistics I got to get done. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, a lot of great stuff happening right now. Very optimistic. Yeah, it looks like a lot of the censorship is going away, which is just great, guys. There's just things are changing, which is so cool. Carl, oh yeah, you know, Carl wants to walk around here. Okay, I'm going to name my chicken Carl. That's awesome. That's awesome. What a great night, guys. Again, stick around. We're going here. They are live now, so you can go there now. I love you guys so much. If I don't see you Thursday, I'll see you Saturday, 2 o'clock. And then tomorrow, the sermon that was last night that got corrupted will be posted. It's a good one. You don't want to miss it. It'll be posted tomorrow afternoon. Love you guys so much. Go to Jared and Candace's now. Love you guys. See ya. Bye. Love you guys. Michelle, God bless. Michelle Hall, I see you. God bless. See you guys. All right, go to Jared and Candace's, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.